longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? 631. Right across the page. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-print hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
That's a George Beverly Shea song.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He sings it so good. He did. How about 347? There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebbs and flows. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. This morning was just practice. This was the real one. We sang this morning. I didn't realize that until after we started. One more and we'll have our offering. Brother Ramel, would you come? Thank you. 541. 521. Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today, leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, 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 burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen.
I couldn't sing that last song, I'm sorry. That was Rita's song. I couldn't say a word of it. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Makes my sermon tonight sound cheap. Walking with Jesus, because so many of our dear friends from our church here are walking with Jesus tonight. What a joy. Anyway, our text is in Romans chapter 6. Verse 4 is our text here. Listen at this. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He starts off here talking about resurrection, doesn't he? This is how Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It was by the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father. He tells us that even as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you and I also shall be raised by the glory of the Father. One day the trump of God will sound. One day the dead in Christ shall rise. That's what we call the first resurrection. And we'll be carried up into the air to meet Jesus. But he says, until that time comes, we should be walking with the Lord. What a joy it is. Jesus would go by the Sea of Galilee and see these fellows out there fishing or mending their nets or whatever they were doing. And he would invite them, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. They left their nets and they followed Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. They had fellowship together. They ate together. And my, how wonderful it must have been to have been one of his disciples. But today we can also still be disciples of Jesus. We can still walk with him. There's so much about this subject in the Bible. It was overwhelming at all the verses that I read about the walking with the Lord. And of course, there's much to say about walking in the Bible because, hey, that was before Greyhound buses and cars and airplanes and things like that. Now then, when you go to your local doctor, the first thing that he asks you is, do you walk every day? They want us to walk. Why? Walk is good exercise. My doctor asked me that, and I say, sure, I walk every day from the front door of my house to the car. Walking is good for you. I tell him, I got in enough walking when I was a kid. I got enough walking to last me the rest of my life. And he laughs and goes on. He knows me. Now, people walked everywhere they went back in Jesus' day. But this is more than walking as just taking steps. It's our way of life. Walking with Jesus is where we go, what we say, what we do, how we act and react toward our fellow man. I want to look at some of the walking statements that we find in God's Word here. I think it'll be a blessing to your heart. We start off here in Romans 6:4, this verse that we have for our text, and find that we should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. That reminds us of the new birth, doesn't it? Because as Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Before we were saved, we walked in the way of the world. There are lots of people walking in the way of the world today. I don't know about you, but when I walked in the ways of the world, I walked in sin. I walked in rebellion against God. I walked in unbelief. I was an unbeliever. And then after that sinner experiences that new birth, he begins to walk in newness of life. All things become new. He becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things pass away. That means they die. And he is now walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are new. His sins are all washed away, forgiven, blotted out, washed away. He's translated from Satan's kingdom of darkness into God's wonderful kingdom of light. And when the light of God's word lights our path, we can see where we're going. We can see where we came from. So we practice to be what we already are. Saved, sanctified, separated, holy children of God, citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We have divine guidance from the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God. We have the divine power of the indwelling Christ. He is in us, we are in Him. And we have divine presence that we so often overlooked. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, always." And we should delight in walking in newness of life because we're new creatures. But there's another one over in Romans chapter 8 that's just as beautiful. In verse 1, where we're told, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." That's where we are positionally. And then he comes to the walk. No condemnation to them who walk after, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we walk in newness of life. We are to walk after the Spirit. There's no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit. That no condemnation reminds us of what Jesus said over in John chapter 3, verse 17. Listen to this again. "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." It was already condemned, remember? "But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Condemnation is because people do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the unbeliever walks after the flesh. Jesus said that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I read my newspaper every once in a while, and when you get on the second page of the local news, there's a section there that tells you what's going on in our community about the people And did you ever notice that most all of it is bad? They never write in there about anybody going to church and getting saved and born again. Would it be, what would you think if you opened up your local paper and it tells you that somebody went to church and accepted Christ as their personal Savior? You never see that, and that's one of the greatest things that could possibly happen. Now, they'll tell you about a couple getting in a fight down here at the bar at 1 o'clock in the morning, and one of them shoots the other one or something like that, you know. All that makes the news. That's news. That sells papers. They ought to give a report. That's an idea. Brother David put that in the suggestion box. Let's get the newspaper to run a section over there and call it a religious section, and we'll put down the names of all of the churches in San Diego County, and each Sunday we'll have the pastors or somebody call in and report the attendance that they had, and also put down all of the people that get saved. Wouldn't that be something to read about in there? Now, when you read news like that and you see somebody that you know that follows the Lord in baptism and they become a new creature in Christ Jesus, now that's good news. But you know what? It would be so embarrassing to a lot of our churches that don't have very many people walk the aisle for Christ. So it probably wouldn't last very long. They would be too embarrassed to have their name put in there and without having any results of their preaching. But anyway, we're still talking about walking with the Lord. People don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. Can you remember back to the time before you were saved, while you were still lost, an unbeliever? Can you perhaps remember that you walked after the flesh and not after the Spirit? Maybe you just did it every once in a while. Can you still remember that? Of course, you don't do that anymore, do you? Of course not. We're now in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now that we're saved, we walk after the Spirit. Now that we're saved, we follow the leadership of the Lord, and He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Moving on into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I've got about 10 of these to go, so I don't want to spend too much time on each one of them. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 7, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, what? While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And then verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We, born-again Christians, walk by faith. What is faith? What does Hebrews 11:1 say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he goes on to say, by faith, the elders received a good report. And he says, it's through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I have always enjoyed a magazine called National Geographic. I subscribe to it every once in a while. And then they stack up, and I skip a few years, and then I'll usually go back to it. But National Geographic is not a religious magazine. It believes in evolution. It believes that the world is it's been here for a long time, much longer than it has, and a lot of other things. But it's kind of interesting, some of the subjects that they cover. You don't have to believe it just because you read it in the National Geographic. See, there's only one book that you believe when you read it, and that's your Bible. You can read these other books, but be like, they say, Spurgeon's cow. You eat the hay, but you leave the briars. And there are books like that. There are books that you can read. It's got some good in there, but you just, that you can eat the hay, but when you run across some briars, leave them alone. Now, we walk by faith. He tells us here that the things that we see were not made from things that appear. You go back into the book of Genesis, and there's a lot of God saids in there, in that first chapter. God said, let there be light. God said. And when God spoke, these things came into existence. They were not made from things that already existed. Till he gets down. And what was it? Everything that God made, what did he say? It was good. It was good. It was good all the way through. And then it gets down here. Everything that God created, I misspoke myself, everything God created was good. And then he got down here and he made something. What did he make? Man. He made man out of something that already existed. Maybe he found out his error too late, but he should have spoken man into existence too. Instead of that, he made us, well, what did he make us out of? He made us out of dirt, of all things. I mean, couldn't he have put a little gold and silver in there? You know what I mean? Kind of toughen us up, make us worth something. All we are is a pile of dirt, Brother David. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And look how man turned out, if you will. He gave God headache after headache all of his life. And he's still giving God a bad time. But God made him out of something that already existed instead of speaking him into it. I wonder how he made the angels. We'll have to ask him sometime. He may have spoken them into existence too, but he had problems even with them because there were some of them that followed Satan in his rebellion. Anyway, we're called upon to walk by faith, to live by faith, believing in things not seen. And we die by faith, believing that to be absent from the body is being present with God. I believe that. Now, let me tell you something, how God, or how Satan works on you. Because I can go out here to the cemetery and I can stand there on the place where Rita's body is buried And I look at that tombstone there, and it's got my name on there just as plain as day. R.C. Wetzel. I think it's got my rate in there. I was a SK3C. Storekeeper, third class. Which reminds me, last night I got on the computer and I got on the Google and I put USS San Francisco CA-38 on there. And I got to admit, that was the ship that I served on for a while in the Navy. And I looked there and it had a roster of all of the people who had served on the USS San Francisco. Oh, boy. So I got in there and I started going down that thing. And of course, I had to go to the end of it all the way down to the W's down there. My name was not in the book. I felt like a sinner standing before God. And God opens up the books and says, your name ain't here. I say, something is wrong. And there was another one of my friends in there from some little town in Texas, and I've forgotten now which one it was. But his name was, last name was Freeze. You can't remember a name like, you can't forget a name like that, can you? Billy Joe Freeze. So I went back and I looked up Freeze, and they didn't have Billy Joe in there. He's the only one just about it whose name I could remember. But then I thought of another guy's name. His name was Virgil Syrup. I can remember a lot of names like that. They spelled it wrong, but his name was in there. I stopped by to see old Virgil one time when we went up, made a trip from Texas up into Chicago, I think it was, to see Rita's brother. And on the way back, we came down through the town. I said, hey, this is where Virgil Syrup lived. And so I stopped at a service station, looked in the telephone directory, and there he was. So I called him up. And he was working in a restaurant. He had a restaurant just a couple of blocks that I'd already passed. So I went back up there and I saw Virgil. Virgil's name was in there. And it's surprising that my memory has lost so many of these people that I was on the ship with. I knew them all, I thought. And I look at them now, and I didn't recognize any of the names. I want to have to go back in there whenever I have more time and see how many, or see if there's anybody that I recognize in there. But there's some fella up in San Francisco that keeps a record of it, and it had his email or whatever it is in there, and I got in there, and I sent him a mail, and I told him, I said, my name's not in that, and Billy Joe Freeze is not in there either. Let's get this thing straightened out. Anyway, your name is in the book. That is in here somewhere. Now, when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to go down through the page. He's going to find our name. And everything that we do gets written down in that book. He keeps his recording angels busy. And we're going to be judged by the works that we have done, and we're going to be rewarded accordingly. That's good, isn't it? All of our bad things have all been blotted out, forgiven, and forgotten. Only the good things that we do are going to remain. So we need to walk with the Lord. Like he said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We walk by faith and we do good works. We live not knowing what a day will bring forth, but we trust the Lord to provide for us, to protect us, and to use us. We walk with Him. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, here's another one. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk, how? Worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now that vocation can be looked at in two different ways. We preached this morning about the greatest work in the world. And that's what we are called to do. We've been selected by the Lord to be His ambassadors. Doesn't the Bible call us ambassadors? That we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Him. And does not also the Bible say that we are to be witnesses for Him? And we are His disciples, His followers. What would you expect from someone who has that for a vocation? But whatever our vocation is, we're to walk worthy of it. Whatever talents we were born with, this is interesting, that God gives everybody talent. I wish I could find out before I die what mine is. Lord, if you'll show it to me, I'll do it. But we all have talents of some kind. I can't sing. I can't play musical instruments worth a nickel. And there's so many things I can't do that other people do, and I enjoy and appreciate them because they minister to me. But we should want to minister to others as they minister to us. I really envy these people that can sing when others can't carry a tune in a bucket, as they say. Some people are mechanically minded. Some people can work with computers. I've got a grandson. Whenever I run across a snag, which I often do on my computer, I can't find out what button to push. I call my grandson and he comes in there, but he goes so fast. I can't follow him. How'd you do that? Well, you mash this button and you forget it. So whenever I have a problem, I call him. Come fix it, Jeremy. I don't have a vocation when it comes to that. It's just too sophisticated for me anyway. But I think that the vocation that we have is our God-given talent. And that is the calling that we have to be used of the Lord, and we are admonished to be worthy of it, to walk worthy of our vocation. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord? Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walk worthy of the Lord. By learning more about God? Yeah. That's why we have Bible study, to discover more about God. We need to learn to recognize the hand of God in things that happen. He tells us that all things work together for our good and for His glory. Walk worthy of the Lord. And then Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. He says that again in 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Walk honestly, two things will happen. Number one, you walk honestly toward those that are without. That's your testimony to those who are unbelievers. And then, that you may have lack of nothing. God promises again to supply every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Honesty has its rewards. Then, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And since we are light in the Lord, he says, walk as children of light. And then John gets in on the act, and he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Isn't that wonderful? You know, that's the reason for our fellowship, is because we're walking in the light. When we walk in the light, we walk in Christ because he is the light. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And here's the biggie. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That statement itself is worth the whole Bible, isn't it? That's the theme of the Bible. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There's no need for anybody to have sin on them, because the blood of Jesus cleanses us when we walk in the light. Now, there's been so many songs written about walking with Jesus, even walking in the light. I remember the words of one of them, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Today, a lot of people, and you've heard of this, I'm sure, they talk about, they call it lifestyle evangelism. Lifestyle evangelism. That you're out here and you live right, and such as this, and you witness through your life to people who are unsaved. Lifestyle evangelism. I don't think that anybody has ever been saved that I'm aware of by watching my lifestyle. Nobody's ever come to me and says, preacher, I've been watching how you live and I want to be saved. Lifestyle evangelism. I kind of believe that by living this way, they may know that you're saved, but it's our job to get them saved. And faith, we're saved by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's just something in there just doesn't match. I don't know. Anyway, 3 John, verse 4. John writes, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Reminds me when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're to walk in newness of life. We're to walk in truth. And all of these are Christ, are they not? That's what he is. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Four things. One of them is wisdom. So Paul will write later to the Christians in the church at Colossae, and he will say to them, walk in wisdom. So if you're walking in wisdom, you're walking in Christ, because Christ is made unto us wisdom. We're to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And this wisdom walk, by the way, is for the benefit of those who are without, you'll notice. That means outside of Christ. So remember, believers are the sons of God. They have an indwelling new nature. They're led by the Holy Spirit. And John writes in 1 John 2 and verse 6, with this we'll close. He that saith he abideth in him, that is in Christ, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And the he there is Jesus. We ought to walk with Jesus, and we ought to walk like Jesus, as he walked. We may not see the benefits. We may not even reap the benefits of it here now in this life. But remember, there's a hereafter. And there's a book in heaven that's got our names in it. And God has all of our good works listed in that book. And when we stand before him, redeemed by his blood, and he gives us something, whatever it will be, whatever type of reward it is that we receive from his nail-scarred hand, can you imagine him offering us a crown? We receive that crown from his hand that was pierced for us. And we take our crown and we put it on our head. Lord, it don't fit. Thank you, but I don't deserve this. And we kneel down and lay it at Jesus' feet and say, thou art worthy. Let's stand together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Be dismissed tonight. Thank you for coming out. I try to make this as interesting as the ball game. We learned more than they did, that's for sure. Brother Roger, will you lead us, please, in prayer?
Amen. I know she can turn her sold it to you, and may you take care of it. We thank you for this. Again, be with us as we travel. Take us home safely. We love you. Thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And in particular, remember Linda Evans in your prayers, will you? Billy Bull is also in the hospital. She was in the hospital unit out there for a few days, and she's in Birch Patrick now in the recovery. I don't know what it is. It's where they take care of people. Billy Bull out there. Her son is up from Mexico and is taking care of her. We appreciate that.